Today I want to talk about, I just want to call out some attributes of the Lord. And I title this, Beyond Superlatives. Yeah. You know, I've talked about this, you know, some time back at our local church. And it blesses my heart to just think of all the greatness of the Lord. The song I played at the beginning says, there's only one word that comes to mind. Well, when I call out, here's the exercise I want us to do this morning. When I call out one attribute of the Lord, I want you to think of the one word that immediately comes to mind. You know, several attributes that I'll call out this morning. And then what one word immediately comes to mind. And I'll give you some scriptures that we can use to adore him around that attribute. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today. Very simple, right? We'll call out an attribute of the Lord. I want you to think of one word that comes to mind that describes that. So if I say, for instance, you know, God's love, what is one word that immediately comes to mind about his love? Okay, so that's the exercise this morning. Then I'll call out a few other attributes of the Lord, and let's see if you can enjoy this morning, because the Lord is good. You know, we got to find more creative ways to praise the Lord, because he's good. You know, so that's why I wanted people to be engaged this morning. Some of you that came in the room and landed on the stage, that's because I did that. I wanted you to be engaged. So others that are in the audience, if you would like to come to join us in this, you're more than welcome to do that. So here's how we're going to do it. I will call out something about God, and then you think immediately what comes to mind. You can post it in the chat room. One word that comes to mind. One word to describe the attribute that I will call out. And we're going to use those attributes to praise the Lord and then to pray, you know, this morning. Praise God. So the first thing I want to call out this morning about God is his very essence. His very essence. So I'm going to wait for you to type your response. One word. One word. Just type your one word response in the chat room. What comes to mind when you think about the very essence of the Lord? Hallelujah. What comes to mind? Well, here is my one word that comes to mind. I'm typing it right there. Glory to God. Yeah, somebody said awesome. Glory to God. You know, I say holy. What do you say? What else do you say? What one word comes to your mind when you think of the very essence of God? Go ahead. You have to engage in this exercise this morning. Type it in the chat room. The one word that comes to mind. Praise God. You know, let's read a few scriptures here, just to praise the Lord and talk about his very essence. Wherever the Lord is, his essence is there, you know, and, you know, let's see how some people experience that in the Bible. And let's see how some people described it in the Bible. We have got about, I don't know, maybe about 10 or so attributes to call out here. You know, so that's why I'm getting started on it right away. The first scripture I want to read is in Psalm 22, verse 3. You know, we know that the Lord, he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, exactly what does that mean? What does that mean when we say the Lord inhabits the praises of his people? Well, there are many ways that you can slice that, you know, but this verse says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, of his people. So we know the Lord is holy, but he also inhabits the praises of his people. Now, if that means when we are praising the Lord, it attracts his presence. And if the very essence of his presence is holiness, then you can just think what that might be when you are around the Lord in praise. Let's look at how the psalmist again describes the, you know, this attribute of the Lord in Psalm 99. And we'll look at verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Hallelujah. You know, so we're talking about, you know, there, you know, three or more dozens of scriptures that I can read out about just the Lord being holy or his name being holy and so forth. But I'm just going to read a few so that we can go on to the next few attributes. And then we're just going to use this to praise the Lord this morning. Even in this Psalm 99, you read at verse 3, he said, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Hallelujah. Exalt you the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. That's in that verse, in that chapter, actually twice. It's in verse 5 and it is in verse 9. So we see that the Lord is holy. That's one word that comes to mind when we are thinking of that. And what is, even those hosts that are in heaven, what do they say about this very, you know, attribute of the Lord? Well, let's read Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, I mean, this is the first thing out of their mouth. Every day they do not rest, all day long. They are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, which liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. Glory to God. So holy, even in heaven, they don't stop to say it. Holy, holy, holy. Praise God. Now, the what we see and what we adore in him is what we can become. Now, that's part of this lesson too. When we see him as he is, we can become that attribute of him when we adore him in that attribute. You know, 1 John chapter 3, you know, this is just a slight digression to explain that. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Now, if you read that again, without necessarily thinking that, you know, when Jesus comes in the rapture, in the translation, let's read again. When he shall appear, in other words, when he reveals himself to you, you will be like him because you will see him as he is. In other words, I mean, say, why will we be like him just because we will see him as he is? That's the secret in this verse. What you see in him and you adore is what you can become. So when we see his holiness, we adore his holiness, we begin to partake of that part of that divine nature. So that's the secret of this lesson here today. Isaiah experienced this in Isaiah chapter 6. I love this particular chapter because, you know, every time I read it, it's just amazing. I would love to experience something like this. You know, Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting. My goodness. Now, this was not exactly just a spiritual vision. It was a real vision. I mean, he saw it, you know. It wasn't just the word of the Lord that came to him in a vision. It was something that he actually experienced. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And you know, the appearances of God to the prophets of old were so significant that they used to record it based on some event or some date. You know, sometimes it wasn't every moment or every day. You know, sometimes it was weeks or even months or years apart. So they would always record it and put a timeline to it. The year in which I got this had, you know, in the second month of this and that, in the second day of this and that, then the word of the Lord came to me and this and that. I mean, they would record it because it was significant to them. You know, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above is through the seraphims. Each one of them had six wings, just like we read in the book of Revelation. Covered his face with two, covered his feet with two, and fly, you know, did fly with two. And cried, one of them cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy. Now, this is just what, like what we saw in the book of Revelation. So what is this one word that comes to mind when we think of his essence? Holy, in this case. Holy, holy, holy. And then when you experience his holiness, here's what happens. He said, the Lord of hosts is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, this wasn't the kind of smoke that choked you. This was glory smoke. Then I said, this is what happens when you experience this essence of God. This is what happens. I mean, it drains you, makes you feel lifeless. You know, I mean, this man felt unworthy to even be in his presence. Woe is me, he said. I am undone. I'm finished. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Because my eyes have seen the King. Glory to God. Now, when we truly experience his revealed presence, this is what happens. John on the Isle of Patmos. And this was the same John that used to hang out with him all the time, sat at meal with him and so forth. But this time around, he fell at his feet as dead. Glory to God. Because he revealed something about him. His eyes were like fire. His feet were like burning brass. His voice were like thunders. And when he saw that, my goodness, he fell down at his feet as dead. Daniel, when he saw the various appearances of the Lord, he fell down as dead. You know, he said, Lord, you know, my breath went away from me. I sat down and I was astonished for many days. You know, and then he said, the one of the seraphims flew unto me. This was his experience. Having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues from off the altar. And this is something that we all need to experience. And he laid it upon my mouth. And he said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken from thee, and thy sin is purged. Glory to God. So an experience of his presence reveals our own unworthiness, but the Lord takes an extra step. In this case, the Holy Ghost branding upon his tongue, the coals of fire upon his tongue. a couple months or so ago, we did this lesson here on the deadly tongue and how that we need that coals of fire from the altar. But it was his presence, the presence of the Lord, that revealed all of that to Isaiah and caused him to experience that. So that's holy. Now let's talk about his love. What is the one word, that comes to mind when we think about his love? What is one word that comes to mind? So, well, holy, I was going to type that holy, but I didn't press send initially. So that holy was the one I just finished talking about. So what one word comes to mind when you think of God's love? Or well, I say boundless. What say you? Type something in the chat that comes to mind when you think of his love. What one word comes to mind? Ah, Star Julia says endless. Thank you. I'm looking for some more reactions. What one word comes to mind when you think of his love? The love of Jesus. Type your reactions in the chat. I know you were not expecting this exercise, but you are here now. So do it. Praise God. Brother Sam says unlimited. Glory to God. Thank you. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures. First, I'll take Ephesians. Hallelujah. I will take Ephesians. Thank you, Sister Chioma. I'll take Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 17. Glory to God. So it says, we're saying that for this cause, let me read from verse 14. That gives some little context. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by love, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that's his love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, to know the love of Christ. All of these attributes, height, length, breadth, depth, talking about the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Sister Titulaire says, I think of him as Father when I think of his love. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Sister Choma says, sacrificial. Yes. These are the attributes of the Lord concerning his love. And that if you are just joining us, welcome to the room. We're doing an exercise in putting forth his praises this morning and adoring him. And I call it beyond superlatives, the Lord our God. Because sometimes we can't find the right words. We'll say things like, he's greater than the greatest. Well, he's higher than the highest and all of these things. Those are superlatives. But I tell you, he's beyond even that. It's just because our human minds, that's all the grammar that we can think of. So we just say, well, he's greater than the greatest. Well, even the greatest and, or higher than the highest, that is still measurable. God is immeasurable. And he's so amazing like that. And as we begin to think of this, let's just adore him. Here's another scripture in Romans chapter 8 concerning his love for us. Romans chapter 8, we read that popular text from about verse 35 to perhaps, the end of it. Talking about, no matter what confronts us when we are anchored on his love. Glory to God. Nothing can separate us from his love. He says, who? And I say, what can separate us from his love? Shall tribulation or distress? I mean, when we are in distress, when we are in tribulation, can that separate us from his love? What about persecution? What about famine? What about nakedness? What about the peril? What about the sword? Can any of these things separate us from his love? No. Praise God. He says, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height when you are up, nor depth when you're down, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now we're talking about this attribute of love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is greater than any trial that we may face. His love is greater than any distress that we may be going through. His love is stronger than even life. Stronger than death. His love is stronger than angels, principalities, powers, anything. I mean, when you experience that love, you're anchored on the love of Christ, then you are unshaken no matter what. That's beautiful. Praise the Lord. Well, what is one word that comes to mind when we think of God's, here's one that people may not like, but when we think of God's judgments, what's the one word that comes to mind? You know, because, I mean, you know, God's like that, right? He said, look, I will in no wise clear the guilty. So one word that comes to mind when we think of his judgments, what is that one word? Well, I dare say righteous. Amen. That's what I would say. Because here, let's read in Psalm 19, and you can think of it, post your reactions in there. Yeah. What is one word that comes to mind when you think of God's judgments? You know? So let's read Psalm 19. Let's see what the psalmist says about it, and let's see what some other scriptures say about it. You know, and I hope you are enjoying this. Psalm 19, not 119. Psalm 19 and verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Glory to God. Because God is a righteous God. Righteous means he's got to hold everybody accountable to their deeds. So, righteous altogether. Let's look at even Psalm 9 and verse 8. For the Lord shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. That's it. That's the Lord right there. Everything about his judgment is righteous. Because he gave people a long rope to pull, if you want to call it that. He puts out his laws there, both moral laws, both, you know, spiritual laws, health laws, everything. He put everything out there to guide us, to help us, you know. And people have a choice. But at the end, because of his righteousness, you know, he has to enforce what he has commanded. And how does he enforce it? At the end, he's going to hold everybody accountable. Going to hold us all accountable. And just because we say, Lord, Lord, unto him, that's not going to get us in there if we are not, you know, walking in the light of his word. He said, well, many people will say unto me, Lord, Lord, on that day, but I'm going to say to them, no. That's his righteousness right there. Because they, you know, along the way, they did not keep his word. They were walking in iniquity and doing all these other things. I mean, and then thinking that, you know, no. And he said, no, because of his righteousness, he'll say, no, get away from me, all you workers of iniquity. Because that's his righteousness right there. So the one word that comes to mind when we think of his righteousness, I mean, one of his judgments, righteousness. His judgments are righteous all together. Glory to God. Let's talk about his greatness. What is one word that comes to mind? Brother Sam said, patient about right his judgments. Thank you for that. Yeah, he is patient. He's long suffering, not wishing that any should perish. You know, he's not wishing that any should perish. But he has long suffering, hoping that everybody will come to the repentance. You know, so we don't know if they will come or not, but you know, that's what God, that's why he holds his he holds out on the judgment, you know, hoping that people will come to repentance. Hallelujah. So what is the one word that comes to mind when you think of his greatness? Well, it says unlimited. Oh, thank you. And incredible, as that Titilio said. And I say unsearchable. Glory to God. You cannot search out his greatness. And all these other answers are correct as well. Psalm 145. Glory to God. Psalm 145. Now, if you're just joining us, this is a little different room today. But, you know, I hope you're enjoying it. The Lord is definitely enjoying it. But we're calling out how great he is and all of his attributes. Great is the Lord. In Psalm 145 and verse 3. And greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Glory to God. It's unsearchable. And even in the book of Job, chapter 11 and verse 7, Job would also declare similar. Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? You cannot search out his greatness. It is as high as heaven. You know, and what can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof, you know, and so forth, begins to talk of how great the Lord is. Glory to God. Well, moving right on here. Let's talk about his, what is the one word that comes to mind when you talk about his kingdom or his dominion? What's the one word that comes to mind? Glory to God. One word that comes to mind. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What's the one word? What's the one word that comes to mind? Everlasting. That, there you go. That's exactly right. It's end to end. It's everlasting. And it is what? Endless. So we'll pick that up in Isaiah chapter 9. And when the prophet was describing and prophesying the coming of the Christ, you know, here is how he put it from verse 6, I mean, the famous verse, which we all know, for unto us a child is born and all that, you know. For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. The throne of David, to order it, he said, it shall be no end. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar himself, after his experience, you know, he thought that he was the best thing after sliced bread or however they call it. And he thought of himself as the greatest. He said, well, is this not the, you know, greatness of my kingdom that I have built for by the brightness of my knowledge and by my wisdom and everything? And as he was so proud, the Lord struck him down. You know the story. But when he came back, he gave one of the most amazing accolades to the Lord in that whole Bible. It was just amazing every time I read it. And at the end of the days, Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Glory to God. And he doeth according as his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand. Neither can anyone say unto him, what doest thou? My, he found out after 7 years. You know, it would have been better if he knew that all along. Could have given glory to God. The pride of his heart. And the story of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, teaches us that there are many definitions for pride. But one definition in the story of this Nebuchadnezzar man, who was the monarch that ruled the whole world, his kingdom at the time, one definition of not giving, I mean, of being, having pride in his heart, was because he did not give glory to God for his achievements. You know, so that is another definition of pride. Pride is when somebody thinks that they did all these things by themselves and they did not give glory to God, you know. And just like this man is, you know, he thought within himself that, oh, is this not the greatness of my kingdom that I have done and all these things and I built by the excellency of my power and of my majesty? And he just gave accolades to himself. And God said, well, I'm going to show you who is in charge here, because the Lord, he giveth to anyone this kingdom and setteth above these kingdoms of the earth, even the basest of men. Lord can do any of that. He can do it if he chooses to. And there's nothing that anybody can say to him or stay his hand. Isn't that beautiful? So his kingdom is endless. You know, even in the in Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel was trying to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, so God gave Daniel the same dream again, and he interpreted it. And in verse 44, he said, look, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces all these other kingdoms. It'll break them in pieces. And his dominion, he said, look, it's one that shall never be taken away. Glory to God. And this time, there's a time that is coming, according to Daniel chapter 7. And he talked about it. He said, the judgment shall sit. That's in verse 26. They shall take away the dominion. I mean, these are all, you know, talking about the kingdoms of this world, the Antichrist system and all that. And, you know, and then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth. After the Lord has destroyed that Antichrist system, the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, that's under the whole heaven, that means on earth, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. That's right. Whew, thank you, Jesus. It is an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. On all dominions shall serve him. Praise God. Well, what's the one word that comes to mind when you think of his presence? Huh? His presence. What is the one word? Well, we already read it, some of it in the story we read in Isaiah chapter 6. We've seen many people, what they experience at his presence. Sister Julia says, awesome. That's exactly right. You know, and I say overpowering. Glory to God. You know, his presence, he just leaves people breathless many times. All the appearances, you know, that we read in the Bible of his presence, it just leaves people breathless many times. And they would fall. I mean, Daniel said, look, I sat down astonished for many days. Couldn't even eat. But let's read 2 Chronicles. You know, this is the one that I want to read. It's also, I mean, when we see this in a corporate setting, it is incredible. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. And he said, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, this is corporate praise now, with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord and said, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. It came even to pass as they did that, that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister. This thing was so overpowering. They could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of God had filled the house. Now, his presence is his glory. So the glory of God has filled the house. I'm going to call out glory in just a minute, but it's the same thing. You know, so, you know, all the things that you put, transformational. Woo! I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Stachioma, for that. You know, it changes lives. Glory to God. When you encounter him, it changes lives. When you experience his presence, it will change. It's life-changing. His experience, I mean, his presence is life-changing. Glory to God. I love that. I love all the things you put in. Incredible, you know, and so on. And indescribable. Ah, I love that. Thank you so much. Now, what about his beauty? Now, let's talk about his beauty. What is the one word that comes to mind? Well, it's hard for us to describe his beauty if we've never seen him. But look at the works of his hands. If you can see the works of his hands and you can think of the things that come out of his imagination, because all these things come out of his mind, everything. You just imagine them and call them forth. You know, so, you know, all these things that come out of his mind. What is the one word that comes to mind? Ah, praise God. You know, let me put in my overpowering for his presence there. Okay. And then I am going to, you know, overpowering was what I wanted to put there. I tried to type that in. It didn't let me put it in for some reason. Okay. But overpowering was what I thought about his presence. Now let's talk about his beauty. Glory to God. Somebody says it's desirable. Somebody says awe-inspiring. Glory to God. Thank you. Those are all the attributes of his beauty. You know, and I say his beauty is, I mean, it's just perfection. But there's no other way you can describe it. Some in the book of Psalms 50, here's how the psalmist said it concerning his beauty. And everything that you all said is right on the money. Glory to God. Let's read a couple of these scriptures just to praise the Lord here this morning. Out of Zion, this is Psalm 50 verse 2, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Ooh, glory to God. He is the perfection of beauty. He has shined. May he shine in our hearts even today in the name of Jesus. God is the perfection of beauty. You can't describe him any more than that. He is absolutely the perfection of beauty. Whew. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you love him? Just silently, just love him this morning. If you love him, praise the Lord. He's so awesome. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And to inquire at his temple. I mean, this is something that this man was longing after. And you know, we've been quoting this just about every day in this room. We've been quoting this, this verse here in Psalm 110 and verse 3. We quote it all the time. And I'm going to read it again today. And when I read it, you will remember that we've been quoting it. You know, it says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. We've been talking about coming into that beauty of holiness every morning. Ah, his beauty, my goodness, is perfection. The essence of perfection is wrapped up in his beauty. Glory to God. Let's look at Psalm 90. And everything that you guys are saying, you know, I'm able. Oh, yes. That says, you know, that's in Psalm 84, I believe. Psalm 84, verse 1 talks about, you know, his presence, his temple, things around him. I'm able and all that. Let me read that before I go to Psalm 90. Glory for God. How I'm able are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. That's right. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of my God. Woo. This man wants more of God. Is that your desire this morning? We talked about that yesterday. So let me go to Psalm 90 and let me just read the last verse of Psalm 90. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. At Psalm 90 verse 17. And establish thou, O Lord, the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands. Establish thou it. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And let's quickly look at his power. What is the one word that comes to mind when you think of his power? Huh? Glory to God. What's the one word? Let me see what say you. Somebody say awesome. That's great. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? What's the one word that comes to mind I'm going to tell you the reason why we are doing this exercise in a minute. Glorious. Yes. And I said, immeasurable. Hallelujah. His power is glorious. He's awesome. He's immeasurable. You know, and all these things. And, you know, the reason we are doing this exercise today, well, apart from praising the Lord and adoring him, which I said at the beginning, what we adore in him is what we can experience. Apart from all of that, you know, it gives us the confidence when you know that God has all these attributes. When you are in him, then you have confidence. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So even, you know, his glory, everything around him. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 19 to maybe about 23. It talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I start at verse 18. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what that believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities. Somebody said its power is unquestionable. Somebody said his power is matchless. Somebody said his power is incredible. Another person said he's almighty. Now, this is great, you know. And if you really believe all these things that you are saying about him, then cast not therefore your confidence, which has great recompense. Because if you have confidence in all these attributes that we are talking about him today, then you should always have victory. You should be anchored. You should be unmovable. Glory to God. Because, you know all these great things that we are talking about him today. Now, let's talk about before I go to the next one, let me just read one more verse here, which we love to quote, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But sometimes we forget that the only way he can do that, the only way he can exceed, the only way he can be abundant, exceeding means, it's just limitless. When you say think of anything as high, he can go above it, no matter what. You know, no matter how high you think, he can exceed it. So, when you think of all that, but it says it is according to the power that worketh in us. You know, you cannot have any exceeding greatness from God and all these things that you can do. It is limited by the power of God that you know and that you understand. If you understand, the more of his power that you understand, think about, the scope of somebody's understanding. I gave this illustration here at a local church at one time. I said, look, when you tell a little kid, you tell them you're going to give them, when they're very little, give them a quarter, they appreciate it because they probably can't think of anything too much, more than that. Now, as they grow older, they might figure out that a quarter is too small, then they'll ask for a dollar. And then later on, they figure out that a dollar is too small. You know, my young grandkids have figured that out now. they want $5 now. Because they figured it out that all those other ones are too small. But they still don't understand, $1,000. They don't understand it. When my little grandkids come over, I say, can I have $5? Because that's the capacity of their understanding. Well, I'm glad that $5 is all they understand at the moment. One day, he's going to figure out that, no, $5 is not going to do it. I want $100, and then I'm going to be in trouble. You know, so the once you figure that out, but it's according to the power. If I ask people, and I've done this exercise before, I went to places, I asked some little children to give me the largest number that they know. And then the one will say this, one will say that, and so on. Well, you know, no matter what number we can think of, there is always one more number after that. So the power that is working in you is the extent to which God can exceed and do these things. Think about that today. So that's one lesson that's coming out of this. Now let's talk about his glory, which is wrapped up in all these other things that we have been talking. We have a song in my Yoruba language. There is no other way that can do justice to it other than that song. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it says, God redefines glory. I mean, he takes glory from glory to glory. He redefines it. Glory to God. Those of you who understand Yoruba language, you might remember that song. Oba tiki sun tiki re. Oba to gbe ogo. Oba to gbe ogo. La kari ogo. La tinu ogo. Lo sinu ogo. Oba tiki sun. Oba tiki re. Talo dabi re o. Alagbara. Talo dabi re. Jesu. Talo dabi re o. Alagbara, oba to gbe ogo, kari ogo, latinu ogo, losinu ogo. I'll interpret that for those of you who don't understand. I mean, he redefines glory. That's what that song is saying. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, when I sing that song, I have to roll on the ground. You know, I can't roll right now because I got to speak. If I wasn't speaking on this phone, I'd be rolling on the ground to sing that song. He redefines glory. He takes glory from glory to glory. I mean, he just redefines it. You cannot, you know, even measure his glory. Thank you, Jesus. And then if we have understanding about all that, wouldn't that be wonderful, you know, if we just relaxed in that, knowing that he's got us. He's got us, you know. That's one song that he got the whole world in his hands. Let's look at some of his glory, you know, how people experienced it in the past. And he actually invited, you know, the children of Israel to experience his glory. You know, unfortunately, well, you know, I don't know that they really understood what they were giving up, but it is sad. But anyway, in Exodus chapter 19, let's read from verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and all that. And he said, a voice of trumpet sounded long and louder. God answered him by a voice. The Lord came down from Sinai, the Mount of Carmel. You know, I mean, was altogether glorious because of the presence of the Lord. Let's look at Exodus chapter 24. We read verses 16 and 17 there about the glory of God. Oof, thank you, Jesus. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it 7 days. I mean, sorry, 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of God was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of all the children of Israel. Glory to God. Now, what did God say about his glory? Well, he said, you know, my glory I will not share with one another or anybody else, or give my praise to graven images, in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. And that's what he said. But to the glory of God, he has actually shared that with us. I mean, remember, I will not give my glory to another, share my glory with another, or give my praise to graven images. That's what he said. But when you fast forward to the book of John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying, he actually said something quite to the contrary. He said, the glory which I had with them, which I had with you in the beginning, I have given unto them. That's in John chapter 17 and verse 22. So to bridge the gap between what he said in the book of Isaiah, where he said, I will not give my glory or share my glory with anyone, neither will I give my praise to glory, graven images, in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Jesus is the gap between that and what he said in John chapter 17. The glory which God said he would not give to anybody, which only Jesus shared with him, he said, I have given unto them. Whew. Isn't that wonderful? So when you think of the one word that comes to mind about his glory, what would you say? I say it is indescribable. Just can't do it. You know, it's indescribable. That is the glory of God. I'm going to type my indescribable in here. That's right. The glory of God is indescribable. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's see what God also promised us about his glory. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 4 and verse 5. This is the glory of God. And we've seen how great his glory is. But let's see what he says about that glory. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, that's in your house and in your homes, and upon all her assemblies, that's every time we gather together, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of the flaming fire by night, for upon all of us, and everywhere you are, his glory shall be for a defense. Glory to God. So the glory of God is for your defense. Isn't that beautiful? Because you are in him. That's why the scripture says, because you have made the Lord, even the Most High, your habitation, that's why there shall no evil come near you, because you are surrounded, you know, by his glory. And because you are surrounded by his glory, evil cannot penetrate easily. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's think about these things when we talk about, when we're talking about the glory of God. Think about the glory of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 8, say, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear reward, your rear word. In other words, it'll cover you from behind. Yeah, that's Isaiah 58 and verse 8. Your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. These are some of the benefits of consecrated fasting. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear word. Now cover you, even on behind. Cover you all around. He got your back, basically. Glory of God has got your back. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's talk about, let me call this last one out, and then we're going to pray. We'll talk about the mercy of the Lord. the mercy of the Lord. This is going to be the last one that I want to call out today. There's many more that we can call out, but on account of time, I'm going to call out this last one here, the mercy of the Lord. And there's an exercise that you're going to do with me here at the end in just a few minutes. But before I get there, let me just call out some of these verses about the mercy of the Lord. And you know it just as well as I do, that the mercy of the Lord was the highest point. You know, that mercy seat, right? You can read it in Exodus 25. Exodus 25, when the Lord was describing Moses, how he should build the ark, temple and all of these things, and what all the symbolism that he should put in, right? When he got to the point of describing what should be in the most holy place, gave him some instructions. And here's what he said in Exodus 25, verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Now, people think of the ark as representing the presence of God, which it is. Because inside the ark, you know, there are some very special things that he put in the ark. But he said, put the mercy seat above the ark, not side by side to the ark, not even beneath the ark, but put the mercy seat above the ark. Whew, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Even inside the ark, we know that's where the Lord put the testimony. But he said, put the mercy seat above the ark. And there I will meet with you. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So the Lord himself is above the mercy seat. The mercy seat is above the ark. I mean, just look at the hierarchy. But the greatest attribute that we are seeing of God right now. If I ask you what's the greatest attribute, somebody will say love. Somebody will say all these things. And then you will be correct. But in this place, he's depicting it as mercy. Depicting it as his mercy. So, what is the one word that comes to mind when you think of his mercy? Eh? I would say everlasting. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. The psalmist, he said that better than anyone else in that Bible. Glory to God. He said it better than anybody else. So we are going to read it in a minute. But before I get to the psalmist, let me read one more thing here in Exodus 34. This was the experience and exchange between Moses and the Lord. In Exodus 33, Moses had asked the Lord, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, well, you know, here's what I'm going to do. You can't see my face, but I'll pass by you and so forth and go over here and I'll show you something. So you know that story. So in Exodus 34, when the Lord would show him, you know, what did the Lord show him and what the Lord said about himself? The Lord said to Moses, go over here and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. That's what the Lord said. But when the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord, what did the Lord say about himself? I mean, people say a lot of things about God, but what did God say about himself? Remember, that's what the Lord told, that's what the Lord told Moses. He said, look, you go over here and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. In Exodus 33, you know, Moses was praying to God. He said, look, I beseech you, show me thy glory. That's in Exodus 33 and verse 18. And the Lord said to him in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. This is where that verse comes from. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But you cannot see my face at this point. So the Lord, you know, picked a place for him to go and stand by a rock. And he said, you know, when I pass by my glory and so forth, you know, I'll cover this and that, and then you'll see, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. That was the exchange. So when God will keep that appointment in the next chapter, The Lord descended in Exodus 34, verse 1. Verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, this is God proclaiming his own name. This is not Moses. God proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed. This is what God had to say about himself, folks. The Lord God. Merciful. Now, he first proclaimed his name as the Lord and the Lord God. But the first attribute about himself that came out of the mouth of God, about his own self, was merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. I mean, so he put all that out there about himself. But also because of his righteousness, he said, well, I will also by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and so forth like that. So, but he put first his best attribute. Some people say, put your best foot forward. Well, maybe that's where they got it from. God put first his best attribute, which is mercy. And if we take and receive his mercy, then we don't have to deal with his severity. That's right. The mercies and severity of God. The attribute that God pronounced about himself when he proclaimed his name, the first of it was merciful. Glory to God. So, then the psalmist understood this. And he talked about the mercy of God in more places in that psalm than anybody else in the whole Bible. And we're going to read some of it together. But before we get there, let me just, you know, read one here, one there, and so on and so forth. You know, so we read at Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Who give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. That's right. You know, so when you think of his mercy, it is everlasting. Glory to God. Psalm 107 verse 1. Same thing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and so on and so forth. Psalm 108 verses 3 and 4. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens. Glory to God. And you go on and on and on and on. Now we go to Psalm 136. And this is the one I want us to do together. Psalm 136. It's like no other book in that whole Bible. That psalm. It's like no other book in the entire Bible. It's nothing like it. It is so unique. Every sentence is punctuated, actually, you know, by his mercy endureth forever. Every single sentence. In fact, sometimes he'll split up a sentence into two and he'll still punctuate it with his mercy endureth forever. I mean, that's how great his mercy is. It's everlasting. So I want us to do this together. I want us to read this psalm together. Those of you who are on stage with me, we're going to read it, what they call responsively. I will read the first part and you will chant, for his mercy endureth forever. And we will do that from top to bottom of that psalm. And even where you are, join us. Even if you are not on stage, I want you to join us, because that is something that is going to happen to you when we do this. Something good is going to happen to you when you make this declaration. I am telling you right now.
Amen.
You must engage God in the spirit. Don't just, you know, carelessly or fleshly, you know, just read this psalm. No. This morning, engage with us in the spirit when we do this thing. Something good is going to happen to you.
Amen.
Now, we are going to open, I want you to open your mics, everybody that's on stage, and also wherever you are that you are listening, find a place that you can join us. Step out if you're in the office or wherever you are. Join us in this thing because something good is about to happen to you. Because this psalm is incredible. It is just, there's nothing like it in the whole Bible that is written like this. It is unique and it is transforming. It is transformational. One person said transformational. It is life changing when you call upon his mercy like this. So every sentence punctuated by his mercy endure forever. So here's how we're going to do it. I will read the first part of the sentence. And the rest of you will respond for his mercy endure forever. You got it? Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's how we're going to do it. And be sure that you participate in this, for there is a blessing that is coming to you at the end of this for doing this. So this is the greatest attribute of God that he pronounced about himself. And that mercy is coming for you. His mercy is coming after you. His Amen. Mercy is coming after your loved ones. His mercy is coming after your children. His Amen. Mercy is coming after your grandchildren. His Amen. Mercy is coming after everything that concerns you.
His mercy
is coming Thank for you Lord. Today.
As Amen. Thank
that's
you
our Lord. Declaration and that is our prayer this morning. But we're going Lord. To do it in this fashion. So as I read it, be ready to chant. For his mercy endure forever. We're going to read through from top to bottom. Now, here we go. Glory to God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy,
mercy endure forever.
So you guys have to say that part of for his mercy endure forever. And let's forever. Have to say it together. Remember, what we read in Second Chronicles, I'm going to read it to you again because some of us don't understand this, but I'm going to read it to you again in Second Chronicles chapter 5 because we don't understand this. So let me read it to you again. It came even to pass that as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Now, the Psalms is a song. You may read it, you may say it, you may sing it. It's still a song. A psalm is a song. When the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice and they made one sound to say, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. He said it came to pass that the house was filled with smoke. Just from people saying the mercy of God endureth forever. The glory of God descended.
Hallelujah.
But they did it in unity. It was unified praise.
Amen.
When that praise is unified and is perfected like that, it brings the glory of God. And the best way that you can do it is to just say his mercy endureth forever. That's it. When David used to command the congregation and say, now bless the Lord your God. All they would say is, for the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. That's all they would say. They would say that from night, morning till they would be saying it. And this is what they were saying here. The glory of God extended.
Hallelujah.
Now that you understand that, let's go back. I'm going to start over because it is important that you engage this according to the instructions that I gave, the Spirit of God actually gave through me. Now, if we can engage it correctly, you are going to experience something today. Glory to God. So we're going to do it again. Psalm 136.
136.
We're going to go, and I'm reading from King James. I want you all to turn to King James so that we'll be unified. Reading from the King James, and we will go, and but all you have to do, even if you don't have your Bible in front of you, all you have to do is say, for his mercy, endure forever. That's all you have to do. You don't even need to read it. That's all you got to do. So we'll start it here. I will take each first part of the sentence. You will say that part. Now, let's start again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him alone who doeth great wonders.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that made great lights.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For his mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and a stretched out arm.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which smote great kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for an heritage.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Even an heritage unto Israel his servant.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And has redeemed us from our enemies.
Thank you, Lord.
For his mercy endureth forever.
For
his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever.
Yes,
Lord, you remember me. Yes, Lord, you remember me.
Just thank you. We are so grateful to you, God. Thank you for your mercy, your manifold mercy, your great mercy, your great mercy. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your mercy. You delivered us, you redeemed us, God. You call us your Lord. You met with us from above the mercy seat, God. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you adoration, God. our great high priest, our merciful God. Thank you, Lord. You did not judge us by our own iniquities, O God. Thank you for the mercy of our us, God. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. He is a poor you are God and God alone. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We appreciate you for the incredible things of God and righteousness. Honor to your name, God. Adoration to your name, God. Glory, glory for you, God. Your kingdom that can be known, God. You are incredible, God. You are awesome, God. You are the mighty God, Almighty. You are wrapped around the Holy Spirit, God. Holy Spirit, we recognize you. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the mercy, God. Hallelujah, glory to you. Your kingdom shall have no end. We reign, O God. Only Yeshua Mashiach will reign forever. You will reign and rule forever. Your kingdom shall have no end, O God. You sit upon the throne, O God. You continue to be in charge. Thank you so much, O God. We bless you. We appreciate you. We superimpose your kingdom above every other kingdom of this earth in the name of Jesus. You are the Elohim above all the Elohim. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Blessed. Hallelujah. Great God in heaven, we thank you. My friend, my Savior. Hallelujah. You are being inhabited. Praise of we, your people. We praise you for who you are. We are thankful for everything you've done. We praise you for all the things you have prayed for. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you for this Lord you give me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. But I'm able to walk and come to your presence. Bless you to your name. Kasatuba dakahikasata. Jodekehikasutua. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, sir. Amen.
Now, there's one more thing you are going to do. Now, listen to this. Now, remember, you know, Jehoshaphat said, you know, believe on the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophet. I'm not a prophet. But when you bring the word of the Lord, it's prophetic. Believe also his prophet, and so shall ye prosper. There's one more thing you're going to do. You will write with your own hand your own declaration. That's right. Actually, two things. For those of you who are on stage, you don't need to do this because you're already on stage. But if you are in the audience... But if you are on stage and you want to do it, you can remove yourself to the audience. That's how you do it. Just click on your profile and say move to audience. I'm not going to do that. You're free to do that. But I want people to raise their hand and I want you to type something in the chat room. Yes. Now, don't limit God. Just, you know, believe God. From the place where you are, God told Abraham. On the place where you are standing, look to the left, look to the right, look to the front, and look behind you. For all that you see, that's what I'll give you. Glory to God. Now, I say to you today, by the word of the Lord, that whatsoever under this atmosphere, because the glory of God, I had to even turn off my mind because I was so overwhelmed. I was crying. You know, the presence of God in my room right now is just so overwhelming. especially when I read about God remembering us in our low estate. Oh, glory to God. Now, the Lord will remember you today. So I want you to raise your hand.
Amen.
I want you to put it in the chat room. Whatever it is, I believe you can go for. And don't worry about anybody. Just worry about yourself. You know, don't care about nothing. Right now, you believe God. I will believe God with you. And there is something good. Oh, glory to God. Now, you could have made this declaration many times before. It doesn't matter. But today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. And that's what he said. Today, I'm asking you, you know, honor the Lord today with your faith. That's all. Just honor him with your faith. We have declared all his greatness before him today. What else? This is how you get stuff from God. You tell him how great he is. And we have said it. We've talked about it. We've read it from the scriptures. We've declared how great his mercy is. Now, put down in writing what it is you want God to do for you. You know, and I'm going to say we got, you know, today is, I don't know, maybe the 16th of the month or whatever. You know, we got a couple of weeks left before the end of this year. I am going to declare something that is going to, you know, dumbfound that devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, it is going to dumbfound the devil because the Lord's word is forever settled in the heaven. Glory to God. And the devil can't do anything about it. So in this next 2 weeks, glory to God, it could be like something that you have waited for. You know, there's a song like that. What we've waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Now that's going to be your story as you cross through to next year. Now, it may not be completely finished. It may be first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. That could be. But in this next 2 weeks, by the word of the Lord, and by the grace of God, and by his mercies that endure forever, he will cut asunder a gate of brass, and he will break in pieces the bars of iron, and anything and everything that was holding back, the thing that you were believing God for yourself, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, we're going to call them forth now. Remember, God who raises the dead and collect those things that are not as though they already are. Whatsoever you see, speak in my ears, saith the Lord, that will I do unto you. So go ahead. If you are here in the room, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not bringing you to the stage. But raise your hand means that you are participating in this declaration. Glory to God. Press the hand raising button. Don't let it pass you by without doing it. You know, you must engage God right now. There's a song that says, you know, pass me not by, O gentle Savior. Well, that's not a song that you sing, you know, sitting down. That's a song you sing and you chase after him. You know, that's what we say in the Yoruba language. It's not the kind of song you sing sitting down. So don't let this pass you by. Who has despised the day of small things? These be the eyes of the Lord. Don't miss the day of this visitation. Now, raise your hand. I see, you know, just a few, you know, I'm not sure which hands I see. I see a few hands raised. You know, I see you and the Lord sees you. Your hand is raised. Glory to God. If you are still here and you are still thinking about it, you got to post it. What do you want the Lord to do for you in that chat room and raise your hand? And I'm going to ask God by these two things, these two tokens that you are doing today, by the raising of your hand and by the posting of the thing that you are believing God for, I am going to ask the Lord, the Spirit of God, to move over this request. Remember, in the beginning, when the Lord saw the chaos, that the earth was void and out of order and out of kilter, the Spirit of God, he moved over the face of the deeps. And he began to call forth order out of that chaos. And there are some lives that attract chaos. Your life is just chaotic. But the Spirit of God, he is going to move. It's going to bring order. And the things that you are believing God for that seem to be so elusive. And let's see if the Spirit of God will move under this anointing and this cloud right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray right now. I'm giving you time to put your prayer there and put your hands up. Now I am going to pray. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's an act of faith already. This is the reason why, you know, when we preach, you know, when we are gathered together in assembly, sometimes we say, you know, if you are believing God for this, come out here, let's believe God together. It doesn't mean that you can't get it in your seat, but it's a way of getting the people to engage from the time you get up from your seat, walk down to that, you know, front, you know, you're thinking about it. And so that's like engaging. So I've asked you to engage this morning by raising your hand. Putting it down. Father, look upon all these things that people have said before you today. It is before the Lord. It's not before me. God has said these things today that he will pass before you, that he will show you your goodness. Say, my goodness, I will cause to pass before you. And I will be merciful. To whom I will be merciful? May you be a vessel of mercy that will receive his mercy today. In the name of Jesus, I will show my compassion to whom I wish compassion. May the Lord remember you in your low estate today. Glory to God. Anything that have plagued your heart, what aileth you this morning, put it down before the Lord and leave it there. Glory to God. Don't pick it up again. So put it in this room today. Don't pick it up again. You leave it right there. He's walking on it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, look upon the hands that are raised. Look upon the requests that are pasted and do what only you can do.